God's Word tonight in Matthew chapter 16. Matthew 16. Text for the sermon is Jesus' words in verse 24. We'll read together the entire chapter. This is the holy, inspired Word of God in Matthew 16. The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, When it is evening, ye say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the times? A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall be no sign given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed. And when his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said unto them, Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, It is because we have taken no bread. Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, Why reason ye among yourselves, because ye have brought no bread? Do ye not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets ye took up, neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets ye took up? How is it that ye do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Then understood they how that he bade them not to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. When Jesus came into the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. From this time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. So far we read God's holy and inspired word. I call your attention tonight to verse 24 of Matthew 16. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, this evening when we heard Wes's confession of faith, we heard a young man confessing himself to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Wes isn't the only one here tonight who has made that confession of faith. There are many here this evening as mature believers who have done the exact same thing. And in doing that, we make it clear before the church and the world that I am a follower of Jesus. The passage that we consider tonight explains to us what that means. It shows to us what the characteristics of a disciple of Jesus are. If someone claims to be a follower of Jesus, this is what is going to be true of that man or that woman. He or she is going to deny themselves, and they are going to take up their cross and follow Jesus. The passage before us tonight does not use explicitly the word disciple. However, that is precisely what Jesus is talking about, and that's evident from the language that Jesus does use at both the beginning and the end of the passage. At the beginning of the verse, Jesus uses the language of coming after him. That's the language of being a disciple. We know that, for example, from what we read in Mark chapter 1, verse 17, right at the beginning of Jesus' earthly ministry. Mark 1, 17, he sees Andrew and Simon by the seaside, and he says to them in verse 17, Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. That's the exact same language. Come after me is to be a disciple of Jesus. And then the language that he uses at the very end of our passage is that of following me. And repeatedly when Jesus called his disciples, that was the language that he used. He went to them and said explicitly to the disciples, follow me, come be one of my disciples. Though the word disciple is not used in our passage explicitly, that's exactly what Jesus is talking about. What does it mean to be true disciples of Jesus Christ? That's what we consider tonight in light of the confession of faith that we heard. True disciples of Jesus Christ. Let's notice in the first place the occasion of Jesus' instruction. In the second place, we take note of the characteristics of a true disciple. And then last, let's see the only possibility of following Jesus. It was necessary that Jesus give these disciples instruction concerning what it meant to be a true follower of Him. It's necessary for us to know what that means. It's one thing to say it, I am a follower of Jesus. There are many that say it. It's a whole other thing to live it and to show it forth in one's life in the ways that Jesus describes in this passage. The context in which Jesus gives these words are important because it explains to us just how important it was for the disciples of Jesus at his time to know what it meant to be a true disciple. And it shows to us the importance as well. And so we begin the sermon tonight by looking at this context relatively closely. And when we do that, it opens up to us what it means when Jesus says, you need to deny yourself and take up your cross. Earlier in Matthew chapter 16, Jesus has that interaction with the disciples in which he asks the disciples, whom do men say that I am? The disciples responded, some say that you're John the Baptist, others say that you're Elijah, others say Jeremiah, and others still say one of the other prophets. And then Jesus looks at his disciples in the eye and he says to them, but whom do ye say that I am? And in response to that question, Peter gives that very well-known, beautiful confession. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That would have been just as appropriate of a word to consider at a confession of faith. Effectively, that was what Wes said tonight and what he said in the consistory room when he confessed his faith. What do you believe about Jesus? And every child of God, by faith, makes that exact confession. I believe that Jesus, who walked the face of this earth, was just like me in all respects except sin. He was the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter makes that very well-known, beautiful confession. However, at the time that Peter made that confession, he did not fully understand what that meant. He did not fully understand what that meant for Jesus, who was the Christ, and consequently, he did not fully understand what that meant for himself as a disciple and follower of Jesus. And that becomes evident in the words that we read right after that section. After Jesus makes, or Peter makes that confession, Jesus uses that as an opportunity to explain the keys of the kingdom. And then we read in verse 21 these very significant words. From this time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. At this point in Jesus' earthly ministry, with increasing clarity, he makes it clear to the disciples, this is the path that I'm on. It's a path that's going to Jerusalem. And at Jerusalem, I am going to suffer at the hands of the chief priests, the scribes, and the Pharisees to such an extent that I am going to die. Peter hears those words of Jesus, and he rebuked Christ. Verse 22, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. And now just pause and stop and reflect upon that for a moment. This is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, come into the flesh, standing before those who are his disciples, his followers. And one of those disciples, a mere man, looks at Jesus, the Son of God, and rebukes him. Rebukes him sharply. What you said, Jesus, is not right. It can't be right. Be it far from thee that what you said is true, that you are going to suffer. Suffer at the hands of men and die in Jerusalem. And that's why I said a moment ago, when Peter made the confession, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, at that time, and I say that deliberately, eventually he would understand. But at that time, he did not fully understand what that meant. He did not believe at that time that this is what being the Christ entailed. It entailed the way of suffering at the hands of men. At this time, he had the conception of an earthly kingdom, a physical Messiah who would deliver the Jews from the domination of the Romans and restore the kingdom as it was in former days. And if that was the Christ who would do that work, what it meant for himself as a disciple was very much different than what we read in this text. What that meant for him as a disciple was something earthly, a sense of honor, a sense of prestige, as one of the followers of the one who is the earthly Christ, the Messiah, Jesus. Peter didn't understand at this time, in his heart, the true nature of what Christ came to do. And so serious was this that Jesus responds the way that he does to Peter. He doesn't gently tell him, oh no, Peter, you're not quite right about this. What I said is true. But he says to Peter, and I can't think of any stronger words that could be said to say that what you just said was wrong. Get thee behind me, Satan. Any teaching that minimizes the suffering of Jesus is nothing less than the teaching of Satan. The words that came out of Peter's mouth, "Be it far from thee that you would suffer, Jesus," are nothing less than the words of Satan himself. That's how serious Peter's error was. It's the doctrine of the devil to say that Jesus Christ did not come to this earth to suffer, to bear the reproach of men, and therefore to say that his disciples must not do the same as well. That truly is the doctrine of the devil. To demonstrate that, think of very early on in Jesus' ministry. In fact, the very first thing of his public ministry after he was baptized, he went to the wilderness, was led there by the Spirit to be tempted of the devil. And Hebrews tells us in being tempted of the devil, he suffered. 40 days and 40 nights, Jesus was fasting in the desert, being tempted of the devil. And at the end of those 40 days and 40 nights, we read of three of those particular temptations. And all of those temptations of Jesus had this one central idea to it. It was a temptation for Jesus to do this, not go the way of suffering, not go the way of Jerusalem to suffer at the hands of the chief priests, scribes, and Pharisees, and ultimately at the hand of God. "You're hungry, Jesus. By the power of thy word, just turn these stones into bread. I know you can do it. Alleviate your own suffering. Alleviate the suffering of the Jews. And receive the honor and glory of men in that way. Come with me to the mountain. Look at the kingdoms of this world. Just bow down to me, and I'll give it all to you, and all men will bow down to you. Go to the pinnacle of the temple. Jump off. Let the legions of angels catch you so that the people see that and they will glorify and worship you. You don't have to go, Jesus, the way of suffering. You don't have to go to Jerusalem. You don't have to go to the cross. Take this way instead." The temptation of the devil was always, "Don't suffer, Jesus." Because the devil knew that in the way of Jesus suffering, and in the way of Jesus dying, in the way of Jesus bearing the reproach and shame of men, in the way of Jesus bearing the wrath of God on the cross, it was the absolute, definitive defeat of Satan, sin, and death, and the entire kingdom of darkness. So that when Peter stands before Jesus and rebukes him and says, "Be it far from thee that you will suffer," Jesus says to him, "Get thee behind me, Satan." But Jesus does not just rebuke Peter. What Jesus does is instruct Peter. Peter needed to understand that this was the way for Jesus. It was the way of suffering at the hands of men and dying. Jesus not exalting himself in an earthly sense, but Jesus denying himself in obedience to his Father to the salvation of the church. That was the way for Christ. And what Peter needed to understand and what we need to understand today is that if you are a disciple of Jesus, your way is going to be the exact same. It's not the way of earthly honor and prestige. It's the very hard way of following Jesus Christ. Christ, our Master, our disciple, does not expect of us anything that He Himself did not and was not willing to go through Himself. Jesus took the hard path. It was the path of self-denial, the path of cross-bearing. And every disciple of Jesus who follows Him must understand that His way or her way is the exact same thing. When you understand the context in which Jesus speaks these words, it opens up to you the seriousness of understanding that to be a disciple of Jesus Christ is the way of self-denial and cross-bearing. Jesus makes very clear what it means to be a disciple. And before we look at the specifics in the text, let's talk very generally about what it means to be a disciple. A disciple is one who, in the first place, sits at the feet of his or her master or teacher. That's what Jesus' disciples during his earthly ministry did. They sat at his feet and they learned their master's teaching. And that's what we do today as the disciples of Christ. Very practically, to be a disciple of Jesus means that we sit at his feet in the preaching of the gospel. That was part of Wes's confession of faith. We talked about that in the consistory room. What does the church mean to you? How important is the preaching of the gospel? If you are a disciple of Jesus, you are going to sit at his feet and learn what he teaches. And that takes place very explicitly on the Lord's Day in the preaching of the gospel and in the week when we sit down with our Bibles and hear the voice of our God in them. To be a disciple of Jesus means not only that you sit at his feet and learn his teaching, but you believe it as truth. This is why Wes is a disciple of Christ and why all of us are disciples of Jesus and why we are not disciples of Muhammad or disciples of Buddha. We look at them and say what they are teaching is false. What Jesus teaches is true. I sit at his feet and I learn his words. And I believe them as the word of truth. And even more specifically, as the word of truth for me. And the heart of that word is that God our Father loves us and saves us in the blood of Christ. But then to be a disciple of Jesus means that you live it. You hear his word. You sit at his feet. You believe that what he speaks is the word of truth for me. And then you go forth in your life and you live that word of Jesus Christ. And that's the emphasis with this passage. This is what a life of being a disciple looks like. One who denies themselves, takes up their cross, and follows Jesus. This is radical. This is extreme. If you really think about it, this is against what any other man who seeks to gain disciples would ever say. Follow me. And if you're going to follow me, you need to do things that humanly speaking are impossible, that in humanly speaking one would never want to do. You have to deny yourself. You have to take up a cross. You have to bear the reproach of the world to follow me. That's extreme. Every man of this world that seeks to gain followers or disciples would never say that. Just think about the political candidates that we hear today. It's just the opposite. It's always just the opposite. They want you to be their disciple. They want you to follow them. And their word to get you to follow them is, you follow me, I'm going to make your life better. If you vote for me, your life is going to be easier because of what I'm going to do for you. It's nothing like this. To be a disciple of Jesus is to take a very hard way of self-denial and cross-bearing. The main verb of the passage is that of following Jesus. That's not something that becomes clear when we read it in our King James Version. If any man will come after me, this is what it's going to look like. Let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. As we read it there, those three verbs seem to be parallel to each other. The fact is, in the original, it's a bit different. The word follow me is written in such a way that it's different than the previous two, indicating that that's the main idea. If you are going to come after me, you're going to follow me, and this is the idea. You're going to follow me all your life long in this way, by doing these things, denying yourself and taking up your cross. And in the parallel passage in Luke, it adds the word daily, take up your cross daily. So that we look at the passage from this perspective, the way in which we are disciples of Jesus is by denying ourselves and following, or rather taking up, our cross. The first characteristic is that of denying ourselves. Let's be very clear that the idea is not that we are to deny certain things for ourselves. That would be much too simple. Anybody could do that. Jesus is not saying here, if you want to be a disciple of me, you need to look at a certain few things in your life and deny yourself them, and in that way, you're my disciple. It may be the case that to be a disciple of Jesus, we need to deny ourselves certain things, but it's not the idea that if I deny myself chocolate or pop, or I deny myself a vacation this year, then I am a disciple of Jesus. It's much more profound, it's much more deep than that. What Jesus says here runs so much against the grain of the culture in which we live. Deny yourself, Jesus says. Make yourself in your eyes as nothing. And as Christians living in the culture in which we find ourselves right now, we have to understand how at every turn, what we see and what we experience is the exact opposite of this. The world in which we live, why are you going to practice hard and be the best that you can be? It's so that when you're on the field or on the court, the glory goes to you. You're the star of that particular team. Not, I've been given gifts and I need to cultivate those gifts to the best of my ability. And I play in order to be part of a team. And through my playing to show humility and show my Christian life. What other conclusion can you come to when you think about so much of the social media today? And what we do with our cell phones and the pictures that we take. So much of it is, look at me. Selfie after selfie after selfie. Think about that. 20 years ago, before the age of digital pictures, you take your little roll of film, and this was even before my day, and you go to the 1 hour counter at the store to get that developed. Can you imagine if someone looks at that and says, are you serious? You want these developed? It's 30 pictures of yourself. But that, in effect, is what takes place today. And then it's all posted online so that others can see, this is me and this is what I'm doing. And I'm not making an outright condemnation of all things social media, but you can't help but come to that conclusion that in so many ways, the focus is on self. We live in a culture that is obsessed with self-gratification, self-absorption, and self-importance, which is the absolute antithesis of being a disciple of Jesus. Jesus says this, if you're going to follow me, you need to deny yourself. One of the few other places this word deny is found in the New Testament is when Jesus denied Jesus, and when Peter denied Jesus. And the idea of that was publicly, he said, I have nothing to do with him. That's what we need to do with ourselves. What we say about ourselves is, it's not about me. I'm going to put down myself in my will. Because you have to understand that the opposite of denying yourself is serving yourself and exalting yourself. And you cannot serve yourself and serve Jesus. In the way of denying yourself, your will, your desires, which so often are sinful. In that way, we are led to follow, to serve, to be obedient to Jesus Christ. Put yourself down. It's not about me. It's not about serving my purpose and my interests. It's about serving my Savior, Jesus Christ. And this is all pervasive in our life, beloved. In every respect, at every turn, we're faced with this calling to deny ourselves. We understand so often we don't. And there we see the wonder of the gospel that when it's revealed to us in the way of confession, there is always forgiveness. But that doesn't lessen the importance of hearing the command and striving to follow it. A young man denies himself after graduating from high school, but not using his newfound freedom, and if he works his newfound income, to spend those years simply gratifying his own pleasures, doing what he wants. But there's a certain self-denial that says, I'm not going to use these years simply to live it up and do what I want. I'm not going to use this newfound income that I have simply to absorb myself in the things of this earth. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to use these times to grow in my faith, to be active in the church, to find a role in the church if there is one, to be self-sacrificing with the money that I now have. Not to just spend it on all the things of this earth, but realize that I've been given an income and therefore I'm going to give to the church. And even as a single, when the budget says a third, realize, no, I could do more than that. And to give even to the school that I just graduated from because I appreciate the cause of Christian education. As a young man or a young woman who graduates from high school, it's a life of self-denial, putting down yourself in your service of Jesus Christ. And there are many ways in which we do this. A father denies himself when on the table is an opportunity to make more money with his job, but he understands, even though that may be a desire, maybe that's a goal, he understands that if I do that, I'm not going to be home with my wife and children as much as I should be or need to be. I'm not going to be able to be the spiritual leader and head that I need to be in my home to my wife and children. So that though that may be a desire, the conclusion to which he comes is no. The way of self-sacrifice, the way of obedience is another way. The woman in the church denies herself when the way of a career and making more money is there, but knowing that that would take away from the main calling to raise the children and keep the home. The single person or the man or woman who was unlawfully abandoned by a spouse denies himself or herself that very strong desire to have companionship, to have a spouse. But they deny themselves in obedience to Jesus Christ and says, no, I'm not going to compromise my faith to marry someone with whom I'm not one in the faith with. No, I'm not going to be disobedient to the command of Jesus who says, do not remarry after divorce, lest you commit adultery. Though self says, I desire a spouse, the way of obedience and following Jesus as a disciple is the way of saying no. Husband and a wife deny themselves during the difficult times in marriage when things are not going well and we face those times and when the sinful self says, I want out. But they deny themselves and say no. The way of following Jesus is different. The way of following Jesus is to be faithful to the vow that I made till death do us part. And we could go on and on and on. Beloved, the life of following Jesus is a putting down of self in obedience to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And in doing that, what we do is we follow the example of our Savior. I say again, Jesus does not ask us to do anything. He does not command us to do anything that He Himself was not willing and did not in Himself do. The extreme prime example of denying self is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. From the very beginning of His life, that is what He did. He came to this earth in a spirit of self-denial, leaving the riches and glory of heaven that He had, the perfection of heaven, to become a weakened man with the sin of His people upon Him. And all throughout His life, it was never about Him. It was always about His Father in heaven, obedience to Him, to the salvation of the church. Read the Gospels from that perspective. Everything Jesus did, all the way to the cross, was the denial of self in obedience to His Father for the salvation of His church. One who follows Jesus as His disciple also takes up his cross. This is a figure that the disciples would have been very familiar with. At the time of Jesus, when there were crucifixions, this is what the one crucified had to do, and this is what we know, obviously, that Jesus did. He had to bear his own cross to the place of the crucifixion. Was not able to do that. Simon had to do it for him. But that bearing of the cross was part of the shame, the reproach that the one crucified endured. People would see him. People would mock him. They would spit on him. They would scoff at him. The idea of cross-bearing was very familiar to the disciples. But let's be very clear about something. When Jesus says that we are to take up our cross, in one respect, our cross-bearing is fundamentally different than Jesus. When Jesus took up His cross and died on that cross, the heart of it was satisfaction for sin, atonement. When we take up our cross and the suffering that we endure, in no way, shape, or form is it that type of suffering. When we bear our cross, we are not atoning for our sins. We are not satisfying the justice of God. We are doing what 1 Peter 4, verse 13 says, when it says that we are the partakers of Jesus' suffering, just as Jesus in His suffering endured suffering at the hands of men, the reproach of men, the scoffing of men, so also do we as His disciples do the same. This is our lot as Christians. We take up that cross. The cross in that sense, we willingly endure the suffering and the shame that comes to us from the hands of the wicked world for our confession of Jesus Christ. And so often these go together. When you deny yourself, it reaps upon you the suffering of the world requiring you to take up your cross. When you talk to others about what you do or do not do as a follower of Jesus, they laugh at you, they scoff at you, and oftentimes there are results, negative results from the world for following Jesus Christ. And here we simply ask questions, beloved. Are we willing daily to take up our cross in this sense? Are we willing to suffer on account of our confession of Jesus Christ? All throughout history, Christians have had to face that question. We especially need to face it today. You young people who are here today need to face that question. Considering the time in which we live, do you take up your cross daily so that in all of your life you are willing to suffer because of your confession of Jesus? Are you willing to lose a job because having that job requires compromising your Christian faith? Are you willing to do the very last thing in this world that you would ever want to do, but you do it because it puts food on the table and it maintains your confession of Jesus? Are you willing? One day, if it comes to it, in light of the day and age in which we live, to be physically persecuted because you make the confession, I am a disciple of Jesus. And yes, are you willing? Am I willing to die because I love Jesus? A follower of Jesus denies himself and takes up their cross. What is the possibility of us doing this? Jesus begins the text, if any man will come after me, who is that man? Who is that woman that does come after me? Understand that we cannot do this of ourselves. No man would do this of ourselves. Why would any young man who has his life ahead of him, the world says you can do anything with your life at this time, you've graduated from high school, go do what you want with the freedom that you have. Why would any man say, no, I'm not going to do what I want. I'm going to do that which is in harmony with my confession of Jesus Christ. Why would a father say no to more money that's on the table when he understands it's going to compromise his Christian faith? Why will a mother give up everything to care for her children? Why will someone who is divorced or who has been abandoned say, no, I'm not going to remarry? Why do we stick it out in the hard times of marriage and faithfulness to Jesus Christ? Why will one day we be willing to be thrown into prison or to be beaten because we confess our love for Christ? The possibility, beloved, is not ourselves. The possibility is that God has worked in us and He continues to work in us. The man or woman who follows Jesus is the one who has been called by Christ. Christ went to those disciples, "Follow me." And when He issued that command to follow, it was a powerful command so that they truly did follow Him. In our hearts, the call of Jesus has come, "Follow me." And God our Father draws us to Himself so that we do follow Him. God has saved us in Jesus Christ. We belong to Him. We truly are the disciples of Jesus, and He continues to work in us. And that work in us by the Spirit of Jesus Christ is the power and the possibility to do these things. It's only by God's grace, it's only by the work of Christ that Wes Van Dyke this evening said to us, "I believe in Jesus, and I am resolved by the grace of God to live for Him." It's only by the grace of God and by the power of Jesus that we deny ourselves and take up our cross. And the wonder of it is that we do it willingly and with joy, counting a privilege to suffer on behalf of our confession of Christ and to deny ourselves. Because we understand what it is that this Jesus has done for us. We understand what it took for us to be one of His disciples. We understand that though we deny ourselves now and take up our cross, just as for Christ, there was a glory, there was an exaltation to come. We understand the life that is ours in Jesus. So that we don't hear the sermon tonight, take up your cross, follow Jesus, deny yourself, and say, "Ah, here we go again. Now I got to do something that I don't want to do." We hear the sermon tonight, and we say, "I'm going to do it. I'm going to strive to do it. Because God has loved me, and now I, in return, by the work of Him in me, love Him. And I'm going to show that love by being a true disciple of Jesus Christ. I'm going to deny myself. I'm going to take up my cross. I'm going to follow Him." May that be true for you, Wes. May that be true for all of us as the disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy word, and we pray for Thy blessing upon it as it was brought this evening. Draw on us to Thyself through Thy powerful, efficacious call, so that we truly are Thy people and we truly serve Thee as Thy disciples. Forgive, Father, what was said or done in sin, and go forward with us in the remainder of this night. For Jesus' sake, amen.